setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
I'm coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how you can get there. It's a conversation with you and me, hopefully a conversation that you begin to have with those that you know and love, a conversation about your contribution. You were created to fill a unique role. You are needed. You must do it. We have a different view of work. Most of the world tends to think of work as something you do to live. And that's why 80% of the world, if you look at the international numbers, miserable in work. No meaning. It's just a function they do. They put up with it. And it's largely because they feel as though that's all it is. It's just something I've got to do to keep getting paid. I believe that work is something that we were created to do. We were created to contribute, to make this world a better place through our talent, what we do best, through our passion, work that we really enjoy engaging in, and through our mission, the results we want to create in the world and see the significance of those results. You were created to fill a unique role. You are needed. You must do it. So we're about the path to meaningful work. We're about living and working on purpose. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. There are seven stages on the path to meaningful work. Get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job. Give yourself away. Where are you at in that process? I want to help you identify the stage you're in and then how to get to the next stage. Let's go. Jaquay is going to start us off in Ventura, California. Jaquay, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for having me on the show.
Man, I'm thrilled to. What's up?
I'll get right to the point. Was in media business for over 20 years. Pandemic came, and I had to start looking for a different career path.
Yep.
And so now my question to you is, am I moving on too fast from the career, from the media business, given that the pandemic has wrecked the job market?
Yep.
And so just kind of wanted to know your yeah. ideas on that. I am headed down a different career path, and I have already started, but I can't stop looking backwards at that other career.
Now that's interesting, and I'm really glad you put it that way. Because I think we got to pay attention to that, Jaquay.
Okay.
The fact that you keep looking back, we got to figure out why you're looking back. Is it because your heart misses it? You long for it? And we can pretty much determine that by saying, would you even be thinking about a career change had COVID not happened?
I would not have.
Okay, then. So so we press pause today.
Okay.
Now, if you need to get a day job in a different career field just to stay afloat until things begin to open back up, California being one of the most lockdown states in the country. So your situation there is a little different than maybe others.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay with you doing that. I'm okay with you stepping into a different career field for a day job to keep you stable and afloat. But no, I would not be okay you pursuing a totally different career that's not in your sweet spot. Now, as you know, I teach that there are multiple careers and dream jobs within the sweet spot. So this path you were going down, is it in your sweet spot?
I am passionate about it.
What is it?
I think it's very close to the sweet spot, maybe just a little bit on the outer rim, and it's in finance.
Okay. Well, do you have the talent to pull it off?
Absolutely.
It's great. And you love the work itself?
Yes. And it deals more with people, and so I'm.
Are you talking about like financial advisor with retirements
exactly.
and investments? Okay,
exactly.
And is it on mission for you? Does it create results that swell your heart that matter deeply to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And the most important part of it gives me a freedom when it comes to the schedule and being with my daughter, and that's my family. That's the most important part.
Okay, so it's interesting the way you've answered that sweet spot assessment is that it is in your sweet spot. It's not on the fringe. Why did you say you thought it was on the outer fringe?
Just because, you know, I think of the media industry as being the sweet spot, and anything else on the app, anything after that is on the outside of it.
Got it. Okay. Well, now that gets us back to where we are, which is, you know, you could pursue this finance thing, but if you're going to always be looking back, there's going to come a point where you begin to regret that you left media, even though, it is a job that's in your sweet spot. Your heart won't stop looking back. Even if you try to not let it look back, it's going to keep looking back. So I think you have to weigh that. And now, if you're asking me, I think you have to always follow your heart. Are you currently unemployed, furloughed? What's going on?
Currently unemployed.
How long have you been unemployed?
Coming up on a year. Year in about a couple months.
Are you just living on unemployment benefits?
I am.
What were you doing, and what were you making in media?
I was in the streaming world, music streaming, and I was making $145.
Okay. And is everything just completely just destroyed in that industry in LA or California?
No, not destroyed. But I have been applying for jobs in that realm, just haven't been getting any, you know, and had interviews, but just haven't solidified any jobs yet.
Yeah. Well, so how much are you making off an unemployment benefits? What are you still getting the federal and the state combination?
Still getting federal. Yes. And have a very low outgo of money going out the house. So,
you're not struggling.
No.
Well, I got to tell you, I think you need to be, and I know you are, but I think you want to try to get, hired as soon as possible just to get some momentum. But given that you're okay and you're being taken care of, I just don't think you should pursue the path of finance right now, because I don't think it's what you really long to do. Are you qualified right now? Or are you trying to decide if I'm going to get qualified to be a finance advisor?
I started moving and getting the licensing, some of the different licenses that I need to within that field.
Yeah.
But I'm not all the way there. I'm not 100% ready to move in that field. I still need to study some more and get some more licensing tests.
Do you sense that things are going to open up a little bit more in your industry?
You know, I didn't think that there was such a constrictive on that industry at all. So I was very surprised that I haven't got a job yet.
Okay. Well, then I think you got to really work those connections. You got to double down on the proximity principle. I'm going to give you a copy of it, whatever format you want. Amanda, let's give him a copy. You've got to read this and really dive in, because it's relationships. It's going to get you the job right now. It doesn't sound like your industry is that constricted. You thought it was, but it's really not. So I want you to double down. I don't think I would pursue finance. I think that's going to be wasted time and money. And I think you do everything you can, and you quickly get a relationship, connections, and all that stuff going, and keep at it. Don't quit. Get back in that industry. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I talk a lot about discovering your talent and passion to find your dream job. And that's exactly what my friends at Burst have done. Hamish was passionate about toothbrushes, and Brittany was a successful entrepreneur. Together, they built a business that has revolutionized oral care. The Burst Sonic Electric Toothbrush is clinically proven to remove up to 10 times more plaque than a manual toothbrush. See what a simple dream can become. Try a Burst brush today for as little as $49.99. Go to burstoralcare.com and use the code KEN to get special pricing. The Ken Coleman Show continues from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville, continuing to help you get clear so that you can get qualified and get connected and get started and get promoted and get the dream job so that you can work like no one else. Truly do meaningful work in your sweet spot, and give yourself away. 844-747-2577 is the number to jump in. It's toll-free number, 844-747-2577. Let's go to Tanner in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Tanner, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I was just calling in regard to, I have struggled with, perfectionism most of my life. And one thing that I've noticed over time is that a lot of times it will lead to procrastination. It takes me a lot longer to get things done because I'm so worried about getting it done perfectly right. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I'm just looking to see if you have any advice on how to kind of balance that, still doing quality work, yeah. But, getting it done efficiently. So I'm not always stuck on, just trying to do everything perfectly.
Yeah. Do you think it's possible to do perfect work?
No, I don't think it's possible to do perfect work.
Yeah. Okay, good. So that tells me that this is either some type of compulsive situation you're dealing with, or there's some fear that's driving this. And I know that I'm asking the person who says he's struggling with it. And I don't know how honest you could be with yourself. I don't know if you've had other people speak into your life. I don't know if you've tried any therapy, but I'm just curious, do you think this is compulsiveness, or do you think that this is coming from a fear of being judged? And so you're afraid to actually do it, put it out there, because you're so worried about what anybody's going to say, or do they like me? Is it, so basically it would be some type of combination of fear and doubt, some insecurity there as well. What are your thoughts on what's driving this perfectionism?
I would say probably fear. I actually do mental health work, and I'm a big believer. And even if in myself, if I need help with something, that I would go
okay,
get it.
Good.
But I think it's more fear based.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. Compulsive. That's what I thought. But I wanted to open the window for either option, and you're very self-aware. So that's good. So what is, so name the fear. If you've never done it before, let's do it right now. If you've had the fear and you can name it specifically then let's identify it. Either way, tell me, what are you really afraid of?
Probably just, letting people down, or even myself, and just, I always have this, mentality of, I always want to grow. I always want to grow, but then I'm stuck in the middle. And so, I think it's of letting people down, I think my passion to grow, is kind of farther than where I am at personally. But probably just the fear of letting other people down, by not doing a solid job.
Wait a second. How long have you been employed? How long have you been a professional working your whole life? How long?
I worked in mental health probably the last 8 years.
Okay. And what do you do? What's your day-to-day duties?
Now I recently just opened up my own business, and I do family foster care for individuals who have mental health issues. And there's a lot of paperwork and stuff involved in that, and there's a lot of a lot of responsibility, taking care of two people, and just always wanting to do my best for others.
So give me an example of where you're getting locked up. What type of work in this current role is locking you up because you're so worried about letting other people down? Give me an example. Is it paperwork, filling it out properly? What are we talking about?
Yeah, it probably, paperwork, making sure all my assessments are, right on track, making sure that I'm providing, the exact, skills that, and teaching these skills that, every person that I work with needs. And, I just kind of get stuck on not knowing exactly what to do. And then it just leads to it just takes me forever to, finally okay. just decide, right. This will be good enough.
All right, there we go. So when you say you don't know what to do you mean as far as treatment or some type of recommendation? What do you mean? Be specific. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. So I feel like I know what to do, but I always second guess myself. So I guess, yeah, in terms of treatment,
Okay, here's the deal.
I want to be able to give.
Here's the deal. Isn't treatment, isn't any type of intervention, no matter what it is. Isn't it not by nature trial and error?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. It is. Same thing with a medical doctor. It's trial and error. But are you engaged in trying to help the patient? Yes. Are you committed to the long-term success? Yes, you are. Stop thinking and just focus on doing. Stop trying to be perfect. Stop trying to make it always work. Understand that you got to have grace for yourself and grace for the process, because this isn't a widget machine. This isn't a widget factory where you're just sitting there and when it comes along, you slap it on top and you wait for the next one. This is a living, breathing treatment, tennis match, ping pong match, back and forth, testing it out. Let's try this. It's not a one size fits all. True or false?
True.
Then stop acting that way. Stop thinking about it that way. And stop feeling like you're going to let somebody down. You're coming at this and letting your feelings of fear over letting somebody down drive everything you're doing, as opposed to going, I'm standing in the gap for these people. Not many people are, true or false?
True.
Then why don't you throw your shoulders back and start going, I may not be perfect, but I'm here. I may not be perfect, but I'm going to help these people. Do you see the difference in the narrative there?
Yes.
Why don't you stop worrying about failing and start focusing on helping people? They don't need you to be perfect. They need you to be present. True or false?
Very true.
Come on. Come on, man. Look, this is all about what you feel about yourself. Are you a valuable contributor in this space, Tanner?
Yes.
Then why don't you start telling yourself that every day? I'm not perfect. I don't have to be perfect. I'm valuable. I've got people that are counting on me. I got to bring my best. And sometimes my best is a result of testing different things and trying different things. And I may not figure it out right away, but I'm going to figure it out. Come on, Tanner. Come on. How many Tanners are out there right now? How many of you right now listen to the sound of my voice, whether it be live around the country on radio or SiriusXM, or you're listening later on the podcast? How many of you right now are locked up and paralyzed? You're procrastinating because of your own self-doubt. Listen, folks, when I started this radio show, I had never done calls on the radio to this extent on this topic. I had studied the topic, I had come up with my philosophy, and I had my methodology, but it was brand new. I remember looking at Joe Hankin, my producer, one day, probably about a week or so out, and I went, gee whiz, I hope I could do this, Joe. And he laughed, and he said, you got it. And I will tell you that when I started, compared to where I am now, I unequivocally, spectacularly sucked. But I also helped those early callers, didn't I, Joe?
You sure did.
It wasn't very good. It took me twice as long.
I think you're being hard on yourself.
No, I'm being honest, Joe. This isn't beat up on myself. I just want people out there that are experiencing doubt and procrastination because you're afraid to mess up, or you're afraid that you're going to let somebody down. Hey, I got news for you. If you just show up and give your best effort, even when your best is brand new, people know it and they appreciate it, and you're present. And you keep showing up, you keep getting better. And you keep showing up, you keep getting better. Stop worrying about being perfect. Just be present. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Thank you for joining the conversation on the Ken Coleman Show, a conversation about your purpose, your work, and your life. 844-747-2577 is the number to jump in. 844-747-2577. Hey, we've got a great bundle here of The Proximity Principle, my best-selling book, which is written for those of you who know what you want to do, but you're just not quite sure how to get there. Number one bestseller in three formats, the autographed hard copy, the ebook, and the audiobook, all for one price of $25. That is at kencoleman.com. Can't get that deal anywhere else. Also, we've got our coverage checkup. This is great. Paying off debt, obviously, at Ramsey Solutions is a big focus for what we help folks do. Saving and investing as well. But protecting your finances with the right coverage. There's all kinds of insurance coverage. Do you have enough or do you have too much? Are you exposed and at risk, or could you save some money? It's called the coverage checkup. It takes about 5 minutes. Text the word checkup to 33789. Text the word checkup to 33789. All right, to the phones we go. Kelly in Naples, Florida. Kelly, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Super thrilled to talk to you today.
Well, I'm thrilled to talk to you. What's up?
Awesome. Hey, so I am kind of curious. I work in sales. I consider myself to have that like heart of a teacher kind of mindset. I'm kind of wondering, my question basically is, am I in the wrong place or the wrong career? Because if you kind of told me, hey, pick out like what your dream job would be, if you close your eyes and pick something, I might pick teacher, but I felt really fulfilled in my job before and I've lost the juice for it. And I'm wondering if I need to like stick in sales and work another role in sales that are a different place that would still fulfill me, or maybe if it's best for me to, yeah, maybe move on and become a teacher. I'm just kind of at a crosshairs.
Yeah. So the reason that you've lost the juice for sales is because mm-hmm. you've allowed your heart and mind to wonder together about teaching. I mean, when you tell me that when you close your eyes and you think about what you'd love to do, you want to teach, I want to know more. I want to go back to your eyes being closed. Take me to that vision. Who are you teaching? Who are they? Who's in that? Who are you teaching? Is it in a traditional classroom? Is it not? Who are they and what are you teaching these people? Tell me.
Yeah, so I know you say a lot of times it's good to have two sweet, or it can happen that you have two sweet spots. I felt like in my job, I loved it because I was teaching business owners how to use a system that really helped them save money, and it, you know, I got the juice from that, and that was super great. I felt like the company I'm in is not maybe doing enough to stay up with the times, and we're kind of falling off, I think, in terms of, I mean, what we can provide. I think we're just not staying competitive. The teacher idea, I mean, the thing that discourages me from that, because when I close my eyes and, like you said, think about what it is, I picture myself, you know, teaching English or writing to high schoolers and coaching volleyball, because I play volleyball and all that. And I love that idea as well. But I think I could see myself doing something great in sales. I have a lot of teachers that are friends of mine, and they're very discouraging of me, like, to go into the field, because they all just are making lots of changes. And,
Hold on a second.
Really away from it.
I get it. But again, that's their experience, and that's their perspective, and I'm not saying that their experience is incorrect, nor am I saying that their perspective is wrong, but it's theirs. So you've got to dive into that some more. And so what you've got to say is, okay, that's valuable information. I see myself teaching English and coaching volleyball, and my heart starts skipping a beat. I get excited about that. But, Ken, I also love teaching professionals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now we go, well, what's the common theme here? It's not English. Mm-hmm. It's not volleyball. What's the common theme?
It's teaching. Right. Teaching and providing a useful skill to the audience.
I think at your heart, you're an instructor. You love teaching something, whether mm-hmm. it's volleyball or anything else. Mm-hmm. So we take that information. We go, okay, all my friends are they in a public school setting?
A variety of different settings. Actually, most of them are public, yes.
Yeah, okay. Ding, ding, ding. What does that tell you? Bureaucracy is telling teachers what they have to do instead of let them teach.
Right.
So what I want you mm-hmm. to do is look into, well, what about the private environments? Are there charter schools, private schools, charter schools? What about secondary mm-hmm. Education? And what I'm talking about secondary, I should say higher ed. You know, do mm-hmm. you want to be a professor? Or do you want to be a professional trainer, meaning that you train people in sales You know, mm-hmm. you train people in systems and sales systems. I don't know. There's a lot of corporate training positions that are essentially, they're still teachers. You're just teaching a different kind of audience. You opened mm-hmm. up the phone call by saying that you have the heart of a teacher. And I think that you love that. And I got to tell you something else. I think if you are performing the role of instructor, that's your role. Mm-hmm. You just want to be a teacher. That could be the word. I want to teach and I want to instruct. Where you do that is up to you. But if you're teaching and instructing, I think your heart's going to be on fire. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Yeah,
so the question is, who do you most want to teach? But I think you've got to play the school thing out so that you get absolute confirmation that no, that's not for you. Because just as many of your teacher friends who say, ugh, they're still doing it and they still love it on some level. Yes or no?
Yeah, I guess it's the whole like money aspect of it too, the freedom aspect where I would take a massive pay cut if I were to be a teacher. I guess there's no two ways around that, and I'd have to spend a lot of money to become qualified. So is it worth that too?
There's that. But the question becomes, is that where your heart longs to be? You're not 100% sure yet. I think it's mm-hmm. gonna lead to you going, nope, that's not for me. But I think you're somebody who loves, I think you've got corporate trainer in your back pocket. I think you're, you know, if you're a sales leader and then you end up being a sales leader in the form of training new salespeople and teaching and guiding, I think you'd absolutely love that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that idea. Yeah.
But here's my point. You've got to go figure out all the ways you can be an instructor, trainer, teacher that don't require you to be in the traditional educational environment.
Sure.
And okay. I might add, it's possible for you to be a combo. So let me explain my thought process here. Because I haven't quite come up with the idea yet that you've just gone bananas over. And you're a high energy, high emotion person. I wonder if you're not a combination where maybe you are in sales, so that gives you a lot of freedom to go out and perform. And there's a component of sales training, leading a sales team, where essentially that's training and teaching and guiding. Because you mentioned that mm-hmm. early on. And then maybe you on the side coach a volleyball team or coach a rec team. And you've got that part of your life. So you're getting a little juice over there that's outside of the normal professional realm, but very much is making your heart come alive because you're doing it here in the professional setting, and then I'm getting a little extra coaching juice over here by coaching young girls in volleyball or something else. Just something I mm-hmm. want you to consider.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Yeah, different paths. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much for the ideas.
Yeah, but listen, you must embrace the fact that there has to be a massive component of you being a trainer, instructor, guide, teacher, maybe even leadership. That's what you've got to understand. That's your sweet spot. By the way, you don't have multiple sweet spots. You have one sweet spot. There are multiple jobs, dream jobs, career paths in the sweet spot. But for you, you've got to have a heavy dose of instructor in that day to day. That's why I like choosing that word, that role idea. Like I've got to be playing this role for a majority of my day. I get this question a lot. Well, Ken, when I'm in my sweet spot, I mean, how much of my day should I be doing dream job, sweet spot type work? I mean, there's no perfect answer to that. It's not a formula. You know, because there's going to be days where you're doing things that you don't love to do, but you have to do it. But I'd say 75% or higher, you know, you're doing the main things. Well, that's the answer. Anything lower than that, I'd go, eh. So there you go. Remember, it's that role. What role do I want to play? It's like a character. Where is that in the marketplace? And then we get after it. Don't move. More Ken Coleman Show coming right up. You're listening to Purposeful Talk Radio. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So, so thankful and excited that you are with us. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Tim, who joins us in Illinois. Tim, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for having me.
You bet, Tim. How can I help?
Yeah, so I'm calling on behalf of my wife. She's a first grade teacher for 8 years now. We got two little kids, and she's wanting to stay at home more with them. And she has a side hustle that she would like to put more time in. She still loves education, and this side hustle involves education. So she's nervous about taking that on because of pension and maybe missing some salary. So just trying to get some advice on what would be the best route to take for that.
Okay. And so is she currently operating this side hustle while being a first grade teacher?
Yeah, she is. So it doesn't really, she doesn't really get a lot of time to do it. So it's what she's doing is she's selling her resources that she makes for her classroom.
Oh, great. So she's got these resources that she's tested out and proven that they work in her own classroom, and she's turned them into products for other teachers and schools and what have you.
Correct.
And she sells them online?
Yeah, she does. On a website called Teachers Pay Teachers.
Okay, great. And is that her website, or she's just a part of another, like a bigger kind of...
She's just part of that platform.
Okay, great. And so where does she need more time? To do what? To create new resources? To...
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, create resources, market. And with being a teacher, she's constantly stressed with anxiety and everything else. And
yeah, of course.
She is always working after hours at work.
Yep.
And when she gets home, she's exhausted once, you know.
Of course. How much money what's her salary as a teacher?
Net is right around $43,000.
She's netting 40, you said?
Yes.
Okay. So she's roughly about $60,000 gross, somewhere in that range?
Yeah, around that range. It's more probably 50 to 55.
Okay, got it. All right, got it. All right. And how much money is she making, roughly, on average, per month with this side hustle?
So it fluctuates a little bit, but anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000.
Okay. So she's pretty darn close on those high months of getting to her current net.
Yeah, so last year she netted... I think 29,000.
And she's netting 40 to 43 now. So financially,
correct,
if she were to walk away today and reproduce the same results, which she's getting with, she's barely doing anything with it. She barely has any time.
Right.
So I don't think it's unreasonable to believe that she could do better than 29 if she went full time. The question is, what would it take financially for you two to sit down and go, she can do this, and we're going to make it happen? What does it take for her and you to feel confident to walk away from the teaching job?
I'm confident in her because she's a hard worker. But for her, she's worried about pension.
Yeah, but I know, but that's why I'm asking you. What do you need to do? So you're an awesome husband. You're calling on her behalf. I think you have to sit down here and show her the numbers. And go, hey, babe, I've done a budget. Here's the budget. If you make...
Right. And we're debt-free besides our house, too, so...
Okay, but again, she's still nervous. You got to show her. You and I are on the same page, bro. She needs to do this tomorrow. She needs to tell them to go pound sand. Take 2 weeks off and relax and enjoy the kiddos and get her head clear. And she's going to come up with a million ideas and then let her attack this business. But you got to show her the you got to show her the numbers. Hey, babe, I just put a budget together minus all of your teacher salary. And this is based on my salary plus what you made last year in the side business.
Right.
And once she sees that you guys aren't going to be miserable and you're not going to be sacrificing to the point of hardship, which you aren't, correct?
No, absolutely not.
Then lead her, bro. Show her the numbers and then go, babe, you got this. We got this. If I had to, babe, I'll go get a side hustle on the weekends for about 3 or 4 months till you get this thing going. I believe in you. And you and I both know she's going
to. That's what I want her to do.
Well, then tell her to do it. Don't ask her if she wants to. Tell her, babe, do it. I'm behind you. Let's go. Here's the plan. You got this. I believe in you. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Ken Coleman Show continues from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. 844-747-2577. This is Purposeful Talk Radio, not political talk. Welcome to a refreshing and exciting and hopeful conversation. Let's go to Allison, who joins us in the Big Apple, New York City, New York. Allison, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
Hi.
Thank you for having me. How are you?
Well, I'm living the dream, Allison. How can I help you?
Well, my issue is I'm a serial business starter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out how to get out of that mindset. When the pandemic hit and I couldn't work anymore, I went on public assistance. And I was okay with that because I have a special needs kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to start my own business. And the thing is, I keep starting a business. I'll work it for a little while, buy everything I need, the equipment, everything, get the certifications, and then I'll stop.
Why do you stop?
I honestly don't know.
Okay. That's a very curious thing to say, because I know you mean that. I know you mean it, but that's not true. You do know why you're stopping. And this is the whole reason you called. If you want to stop being a serial starter, we've got to find out why you keep quitting. And I don't know, it's going to fall in the category of fear and doubt. Whatever the specific reason is, it's in one of those buckets, is my guess. Or the failure bucket, you're just not doing good at it, and you go, I'm not cut out to do this. I mean, what is it?
You know what? I think it might be in the failure bucket and the fear bucket. I think it might be in both, because I'll start out good, and after a while, if I don't see things prospering, I might stop. Or I know I started one business, and then I moved into a new, lesser expensive apartment, and I couldn't work that business for a while, and then I just stopped doing it.
Okay. So here's what we've got to do. We're not going to start any more businesses unless we're deeply passionate about it. So we can use, you've listened to my show enough, I'm assuming. You know I teach the sweet spot. And so the sweet spot is true for a person and for an entrepreneur. You should be starting a business that allows you to use your talent, because when you start it, you're the chief everything officer, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you better be good enough. You better have the talent to do it, number one. Number two, you need to love the work. You really do need to love the work. And then three, you need to be passionate about the results that you're creating. Like the mission itself, you got to care deeply about those results. That'll keep you in the game long enough to get through the seasons of waiting, because that's what it is. That's the entrepreneurial game. It's, can I stay alive long enough, wait through the season of beginning, through the season of testing, through the season of scaling, blah, 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 whatever it is. Am I willing to stay with it long enough to see the results? Okay. And on average, how quickly are you quitting these new businesses that you start, on average?
I think with one or two businesses, it was 6 months later.
Were you making any money at all?
Yes, I actually was making money, and then it kind of pattered out as the pandemic. We started getting deeper into the pandemic, and people were getting laid off.
Yeah.
And then my last one, I hadn't been working it 3 months before I moved. And then it was just like, you know what? I can't do this. I don't know how to do this.
Okay. Well, see there. All right. So now in that last situation, you just weren't good enough. Mm-hmm. You didn't have enough experience. You didn't do your homework. You're probably on a little bit of the desperate side. Let me try something else. What you don't want to do as an entrepreneur is be a person that licks your finger and sticks it in the air and figures out which way the wind is coming and go, well, I'm going to go that direction. So as I said, don't just start any more businesses on a whim. You need to really think it out. Say, can I afford to do this business right now? The other thing is that I would prefer that you're doing it on the side. And so I know you're on public assistance right now. I would love to see you get employed, get stable financially, get some breathing room, begin the process of doing research on a new business idea, or go back to one of those other businesses maybe. There's nothing saying that you can't go back. And preferably one that's in your sweet spot. You're good at it. You love the work. And you're deeply, deeply rewarded by the results. If we can do that, now we got a shot because we've done some research. What did I do wrong last time? Why did I quit? What were the hurdles? We take our time. And even if, Allison, you got to wait 2 years to get back in the game, to do it right this time, you've had so many starts and stops. You've learned a lot. I'd really love for you to reflect as well on what you've learned and do it different this time. But you don't have to keep starting. You need to stick with something. 844-747-2577. Bo is up in Tacoma, Washington. Bo, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
How's it going, Ken?
Bo, I'm living the dream, man. What's going on with you?
Oh, I'm surviving. I guess my question, I'll try to be brief here, is I work for a general contractor in the construction industry, and I'm not really happy in my current position and with my company. And so I guess my question is, you know, what sort of questions do I need to ask myself as well as, you know, my company in order to figure out if I should, you know, leave and seek another employer or if I should stick with my company?
Well, do you like construction work? Do you love it? Are you excited about it?
Oh, I love, you know, the construction, love the field of work. I love my job responsibilities. I think what it comes down to is, you know, I'm just not, like, my company isn't supporting me well. I'm not set up well for success, and they're
Why?
Kind of stretching me a little too thin.
Why aren't they supporting you? How are they not supporting you? How are you not set up for success? Give me some specific examples.
Well, I guess, you know, one thing is that, you know, I don't really have, you know, any sort of someone I can turn to and kind of mentor me in my role. You know, I haven't really had any sort of higher ups kind of, you know, reaching out or investing in me.
Have you asked for it?
I don't.
Have you asked for that?
I mean, I have, yeah. I've been reaching out, trying to figure out, you know, if I have questions I can turn to, but I can't, you know, it's always, someone's always changing. There's always someone new that I need to be.
All right. What's your, give me the quick, we only got about 2 minutes. What's your role for this general contractor? What are you doing for him?
So I'm a project engineer. So I'm kind of managing a lot of the documents, coordinating, you know, subcontractors, schedule,
okay,
cost.
Who do you normally report to, or who would you in a healthy organization, would you report to?
And so typically I'd have a project manager that, you know, I can turn to, or superintendent.
And they don't have anybody in that role?
Well, they do, but, you know, it's, you know, they're kind of an interesting situation, but they're traveling constantly. And so I only get to see them, you know, once, maybe twice a week.
Okay. So are you able to talk to them each day by phone or email?
Here and there, yeah.
All right. So here's my point. The reason I'm asking all these seemingly little questions is because I think it's okay for you to look for another general contractor to work for. I think you should start looking to where it's a better structure. And it feels to me like this is a loosey-goosey kind of operation. And it also feels like you're also looking for something that I think you need. But at the same time, I think you could be more aggressive in saying, hey, what do you think about this, this, and this, and reaching out. And do you have to have it all the time perfectly in the way you want it? No. But I think you also have been in this long enough to know what you want the environment to be like. And because you love construction, I want you to stay in the field. I want you to stay where you are and make the best of it. And you know what? Keep asking for help when you need it and ask for insight. But then also step up and make some decisions. But I would start looking, yes, for a better environment that has those elements that you want, primarily somebody really pouring into you so that you can become more valuable and move up faster. My time is almost up, but before I let you go, I want you to know that you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want to make sure you check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Hey guys, it's Rachel Cruze, and I'm so excited to tell you about my podcast. A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're in debt. They don't even know where to begin, but they have this need, this want to get in control of their money. And if that's you, you have come to the right spot. So in each episode, you're going to get a ton of inspiration and practical advice. If you've not subscribed to The Rachel Cruze Show podcast, make sure you do it today.
To hear full episodes, search Rachel Cruze wherever you listen to podcasts or go to rachelcruze.com.